Second Chronicles chapter number 7. Let's stand together. We're going to read three verses and then we will be seated. We've been in the middle of a series about if my people. And so Second Chronicles 7 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Guess what verse I saw online this week after the abortion being overturned, Roe versus Wade being overturned? This verse started being shared again. It always does in times of victory and defeat in our nation. So this morning we're going to talk about if my people seek my face. And I believe this is an important ingredient in this verse that is often overlooked. If my people seek my face. Let's pray. God, would you help us today? Would you bless the message? I pray that you give strength to my body, my voice, and clarity to my mind. Help me to preach it right and thoroughly. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll empower the message as it goes forth. And I pray that you'll challenge us in this area today. God, if there's a teenager or an adult in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that they'll not leave here today without accepting Christ and being saved. And I pray, God, out there in the gym right now with those the crowd that's out there, probably 70, 80 people out there in the gym. And God, I pray that you'll bless Brother Caleb Hurley as he preaches to them about Jesus being the foundation in their life. And I pray that we'll hear some salvations out there today. Meet with us in both places, we pray. And we thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We've studied this verse the last 2 weeks, like I said. And we've looked at the thought, if my people will humble themselves. And we looked at that quite extensively. And the truth is, if we're not willing to humble ourselves, then God has his own way of humbling us. And I want to read to you about Nebuchadnezzar there in the book of Daniel. And you can just listen. I'll read it to you. But King Nebuchadnezzar, that wicked king, there's a chance he may have accepted Christ. We're not absolutely sure, but there's a chance he may have accepted Christ there at the end of his life. But he was a prideful man, and yet God humbled him. The Bible says in Daniel 4 in verse number 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Listen to this. The Bible says, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Look up here. How would you like to lose everything you have because of your pride? I could go back and preach on that all for the next hour, the next 2 or 3 hours. Dads with pride, moms with pride, teenagers with pride, and we get things in us and we want it our way, and we're going to do it our way, and we're mad, and we're going to stay mad, or we're, you know, whatever it may be. Nobody should tell me to go to Sunday school. No one's going to tell me to do anything I don't want to do. All that is pride. That's the pride of man. And while the words were in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth, while he's bragging about himself, God said, "All right, you just lost the kingdom. It got worse than that. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And friend, listen, I realize we vote at election time, and I believe we ought to vote at election time. But Biden is in office because God allowed Biden to be in office. I don't care if he was voted in. I don't care if it was stolen in, I happen to believe. But either way, it does not matter. I have peace in my heart, even though it's a mess. I have peace because, according to my Bible, he would not be in that office if this was not God's plan for this moment in time. So the Bible says, "The the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and I praised. What happened there is God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I got this and I have that. It'd be better if we just go ahead and say, God gave me this, and I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Him. And as we preached the other day, I wouldn't be breathing if it wasn't for Him. I owe God my all. So we looked at that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And then we looked at last week, if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. And we saw how that Christ was the perfect example of being a person of prayer. Now, then the Bible goes on to tell us there in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm going to add that if my people, but he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face. Seek my face. That's an interesting thought, okay? So you say, well, I try to be humble. I try to stay humble. I try to do what it takes to keep the pride out of my life. And Pastor, I've been trying to do some praying and talking with God. Have you been seeking the face of the Lord? Before we see what that means, let's look back. Remember a couple weeks ago, we looked back at how Solomon said, now, God, if we do this, this, and this, then we want you to heal our land. We want you to forgive our sin. So I want to look back again at chapter 6, and let me show you what Solomon wanted to do, and then I'll show you how that relates to modern day religion. In chapter 6 there, 2 Chronicles, in verse number 24, Solomon says this. He's praying to God. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear from heaven and go and so on and so forth. All right. So in verse 24, he says, if we have hard times because we've sinned against thee, but we'll return and confess thy name, then we want you to change things. So Solomon says, Lord, when the tough times come, we want to confess your name. Don't miss this because this is exactly what we're living in 2022. We want to confess your name. And consequently, we want you to heal our land, right? So what is that definition, to confess his name? That means to own, to avow or acknowledge publicly, to declare a belief in and adherence to. Now, here's the truth. All right, don't miss this. Teenagers, stay with me. Just kind of introduction as we get going here. Adults, all of us ought to realize this. God wants us to confess his name. Here's a question. Does everyone around you, everyone involved in your life, know that you're a Christian? They should. They should know it because you told them. They should know it by your actions. They should know it by your attitude. I know we don't like this one. They should know it by your appearance. But people ought to know that God's people are different. Your relatives ought to know you're saved. Mom and dad ought to know you're saved. Fellow classmates ought to know you're saved. Where you work, they ought to know you're saved. You're a child of God. In fact, the Lord said this in Matthew 10 and in verse number 32. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So the truth is, God wants us to confess his name. He wants us to publicly proclaim that we are unashamed to be a child of God. So biblically, Solomon was correct to say, God, we are unashamed to be Christian. And God, we are unashamed to confess your name. But Solomon says, when hard times come, we're going to tell everyone that we're unashamed to be Christians. Okay, wait a minute. But what did God say? God said this, when troubles come, I want you to seek my face. He said, I send the troubles to humble you. I send the troubles to get you to praying. I send the troubles to get you to turn from your sin and get right about your sin. And he said, I send the troubles and the trials in your life because I desire for you to seek my face. Hosea 5 and verse 15 says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. All right. So fast forward to 2022. You've seen it and I've seen it. Some of the most backslidden, worldly, liberal, compromising people. In times of calamity, they'll share some kind of a post about being unashamed of Jesus. I wish we would get this as Christians. I'll show my wife. You see it too. If I'm calling people out, we call ourselves out by what we do online. I'll show my wife. I showed her last night. I said, look at that. I said, see, people will say, well, I'm wearing old dress standards. I said, but then they'll share something online that has a big old blown up cuss word on it. It's more to it than just one thing that we have a problem with. Yeah. Children of God ought to be different. Amen. But yet you'll see so many claiming to be born again Christians. And in one post, they're cussing. In another post, they're holding a beer. And then the next post is, well, hey, we need to pray and talk to God because my husband went to the hospital. What are they doing? Yeah. I tell you what they're doing. They're doing what Solomon wanted to do. Solomon was pretty much saying this. I want to approach God on my terms. Think about the many of the modern places of so-called worship today. What do they do? Confess His name. Confess His name. I'm not here to cut up and joke with you this morning, but what do they do? You, Lord, you and we and us and you and Lord and you are and evermore. And they confess His name and in a bunch of songs, and then they leave and they live like they want to live the rest of the week. That's not the God of the Bible. There's a Christian, that's not Christian. They call it contemporary Christian. By the way, I looked it up. What do you call it? Top 100 or whatever. But it's like the top 100 hot Christian or hot contemporary Christian songs. Guess who the third song is sung by? This is the religious world we're living in today. Kanye West, the black rapper. Go look it up. It's some song about hurricane or something. And like twice he refers to God. And are you listening? And the religious crowd today has made that number three. That's sick. That's why guys like me are hated. You stand up and tell a child of God they ought to be different 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ought to act different, ought to walk different, ought to talk different, ought to watch different stuff, listen to different stuff, dress differently, go different places, and people say, oh, you're just meddling. You need to be here on Wednesday nights. We're studying those words in the Bible where God tells us to be holy and be different. Don't have to be hateful about it. Preaching is preaching. You're not here to preach to other people. But there's a song. Some of you have heard this singer, Lauren Daigle, whatever. This has been like several years in a row, been like the number one song in contemporary Christianity, I guess you would call it. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to notice how many times I have it highlighted. See that yellow on there for those of you that can see that far? That's how many times in her song she says, I, me, do it for me. That's what modern day Christianity is today. Instead of holding up hands of surrender, instead of lifting up, one time we had a fellow in the church here and he visited one Sunday and he was a known drunk and his wife rode the bus and he showed up one Sunday and we're trying to reach him. We want to reach everybody. But man, we're in the middle of a song and he throws those hands. He's a big old boy too. And he throws those arms up like that. And I either had J.C. House here that day or right after that. I said, Brother House, I mean, what am I supposed to think about that? Maybe he was worshiping. And in Brother House style, he said, Brother Jeremy, he said, the Bible says lifting up holy hands. And there's a crowd today, maybe even in this church, that's playing games. And boy, we come to church and we do it one way, and that's why we have to have this message on God saying, seek my face, not confess my name. Oh, hey, I'm unashamed to be a Christian, and I'll bet 10 people won't share this. That's cute. That's really cute. I'm glad you publicly profess Christ. I'm glad, but you can't do that. And in the next post, act like God's dead. That does no good for Christianity. You can't in the next post have a picture of yourself at the bar with your buddies and then, oh yeah, boy, I'm a Christian. That's not the God of heaven, friend. I'm just going to read you some of this. He says, this is a song she wrote, and this is number one. I keep fighting voices in my mind that I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. That sounds like Solomon saying, God, when hard times come, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then what you're going to do, wait a minute, Solomon. Wait a minute. You don't tell God what to do. You say I am love when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. And then in a couple places you got to throw in a ooh. Because it's contemporary. You got to get the rock in here. Ooh. I kind of like that. Oh, what a savior we just heard a moment ago. Good to hear Brother Zach back up here singing with them after these years. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. You say, I am love when I can't feel a thing. You say, I am strong. And it's just, I. Now I want to read you a couple of songs here by Rodney Griffin, who is a great Christian man. And wrote the song, Just One More Soul, Just Ask, Just Pray. Very godly man. His dad's a pastor out in Kentucky. Listen to this song, Greater Vision sings, Use us, Jesus. Lord, here we are, ready to serve you. Fill us this hour. Use us, Jesus. Come near us, we pray, and do something special today. We haven't come here to lift up ourselves. No, we haven't gathered to give honor to anyone else. It's you, Lord, we cherish. We are servants for thee. So use us in any way you please. Sounds a little different, doesn't it? Here's another one that he wrote. We have come to seek your face. Sweet Lamb of God, giver of grace. You're worthy of our highest praise. So we have come to seek your face. On his face there is a glow that can change a weary soul. Just a glance is all it takes to free the heart and break the chains. His loving smile invites us near, close to his side, free from care. The darkest night will turn to day just from the light upon his face. We have come to seek your face. Sweet Lamb of God, giver of grace. You're worthy of our highest praise. So we have come to seek your face. Big difference. Young people, it does matter. Just because something's labeled as Christian doesn't make it Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Solomon said, we promise to confess your name. And God said, no, I want you to seek my face. It's one thing. Just tell everybody I'm a Christian and go out and live the way I want to live and do my own thing. 1 Chronicles 16, David, Solomon's dad, knew the importance of seeking God's face. And he said this, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So what does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. To seek by definition means to go in search of. It means to look for. Isaiah 55 says this in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I have a few preacher friends. Of course, Brother Rice is a good preacher friend. We saw him at youth camp last week. And I can confess their names. I can say that I know David Grice. Brother David Webb is a good preacher friend of mine. I haven't seen him in months, maybe even in a year or two now. But I can confess his name, David Grice or David Webb. We're friends. I know them. But if I want to seek their face, that's going to take some work. Oh, yeah, I know David Grice and everybody in here. He's been here several times to preach. You say, "I know David Grice." You're confessing his name. If I say, "Seek his face," guess what you're going to do if you want to do that? You're going to jump in your car and you're going to drive to Grand Prairie. And you're going to find him somewhere. Solomon just wanted to acknowledge the Lord. So, Lord, when times get tough, if I put a poem about Jesus on Facebook, even though my other stuff's a bunch of trash, but I put a, doesn't that mean, God, then you're going to heal us from this surgery? Or you're going to, not necessarily. God answers prayers, but when I think of seeking a face, I think of looking for someone specific in a very crowded place. I think I told the class this morning. Maybe in the assembly or something, but kind of something about this. But last week at youth camp, a week ago, there were like 500 people there. They're having a bigger week this week than the week that we had there this last week. And they've had like 4 people now go home. They're very short staffed. But they had like 500 people 2 weeks ago there at the camp. And those of you that have been to camp, they had this huge ball field there, and there would be, say, 400 people out on that field, others just kind of wherever. There'd be 400 in the middle of the afternoon. And I don't know what it is about Sarah Ogden. She is just a focused young lady. And I could be standing next to Josh. He wouldn't know I was there. He wouldn't know I was there. But I tell Sarah all the time, I'll say, you're just beaking over there looking at me. And I could be in a crowd of 500 people and she'll be across that field. And I promise you, she'll know that I'm standing there. She will find me within 60 seconds across that field. Now, with kind of that thought in mind of all the crowd, but yet you find your child or you find your parent, I just want to make a few statements about seeking God's face this morning, and then we'll be done, okay? Look at Acts chapter number 17 with me. Acts chapter 17, okay? We humble themselves. We get that. We get the work that we need to do. Pray. We get that. Even turning from their wicked ways, that I'm going to define that a little bit better next week than I think what most people think that is. But we pretty much get it. But if he says that one of the four is seek my face, we really need to understand how to do that. Okay, number one is this. To seek his face requires effort on our part. To seek his face requires effort on our part. I can confess this morning, I can say, hey, I know Jimmy Frazier. I'm unashamed that I know Jimmy Frazier. But if I wanted to seek his face, I'd have to get in the truck and drive down to Burnet, Texas, and catch him at his church or catch him at his house. I can confess I'm unashamed to be a friend of David Webb. I stand with him. I don't know what you do, but I stand with him. I could put that online today. 10 reasons why David Webb is my friend. And I bet 10 of y'all won't share this. And that's me. And that I'm sure David Webb would be embarrassed. But he'd probably say, man, I'm glad that he's my friend. But if David Webb said, hey, if you need something from me, don't just call my name. He said, if you need something from me, I want you to seek my face. Then I'm going to have some trouble because I'm going to have to do a lot of work, and I'm gonna have to drive down to the modern day. I don't know if you call it Lake of Fire, Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Alabama. Amen, Miss Roach. I'd have to go to Alabama, Jackson, Alabama, to find my friend David Webb. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse number 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. By the way, I know people don't necessarily want to check out today and go to heaven, but the bounds of our habitation were set before we were born. Nothing catches God by surprise. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though it be not far from every one of us, right? So, seeking the Lord. So you see the difference today in a lot of modern Christianity. Oh, we went to church and, man, we felt good. Hey, let's just all lift His name today. Should we praise God? Yes. Go look at the book of Psalms. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Yes. Should we confess Him? Yes. The people at the bank ought to know I'm saved. The people at the school ought to know I'm a Christian. The people at the gas station ought to know, hey, there's something different about that fella. Yes, we ought to confess His name. But in our Christian life, what we need more than just that is we need to seek His face. We need to seek after Him. I need to look for my wife or look for my kid. I need to seek after my Savior. So to seek His face requires effort on our part. Number two is this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, and oh, how important this is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. It's one thing to go to a church service or a youth rally or something, and they get you really pepped up about Christ and sing the songs and the chants and the back and forth and the whatever. That's wonderful. But if you're going to take a stand for God, if you're going to make a difference in this world, if you're going to have the blessings of God on your life, you've got to figure out what this seeking His face is. And it's not just seeking the front door of the church on Sunday. It's about, I want to be so close to God. I want to be as close to God as I've ever been. So number two is this: to seek His face means we have to make a diligent effort to block out all other distractions. To seek His face means we have to make a diligent effort to block out all other distractions. If I'm looking for my wife across the room in a crowded room or at a crowded place, first of all, I'm trying to remember what color of clothing she has on. All right, that'll help me to identify. All right, so even right now with my eyes, I get my bifocal contacts in. They're a little blurry, but just looking at my peripherals and all, okay, I see some blue shirts. Once I've labeled these blue shirts, now I can shut out everything else except the blue shirts. I see blue. There's several right back here. There's some up here. There's some back there. Some in the middle. Some over here. I did that just by, how did I pick all the blues? Because I shut out everything else. We're not seeking God in this society anymore because we were not willing to shut our phones off long enough. That's one of the most frustrating things of pastoring in this day is you cry out to God and you study and you get up tired and you want to help people. And it's like so many come to church, they're not ready to seek His face. They're not ready to hear from heaven. They're ready to see who posted online, who wants to buy something from us. Why don't we just turn everything over to God and get some priorities and see what God would do? Yeah. To seek His face means we have to make a diligent effort to block out all other distractions. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about being married and the importance of being married and so forth. But it says this, it talks about, you know, an unmarried person cares for the things of God. And by the way, if you're not married in here, your focus ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I serve Him? How close can I get to Him? What can I do in my local church? But Paul said, be careful. And the Holy Spirit said, be careful, because once you're married, then you have to find balance. And by the way, it is a balance. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. It's a balance. It can't become all about your marriage and all about you and all about this. Now you balance. And Paul says here, he says, be careful that you don't get married, and then that becomes a focus and you're not making Christ number one in your life again. So he brings to 1 Corinthians 7 to verse 35. He says, this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that's decent, proper, suitable, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Okay, so he said, what I'm concerned is you're distracted. You could be distracted by a marriage. You could be distracted by a new child. You could be distracted, young people, by a boy or a girl or a sport or whatever it may be. And God says, if my people, somebody put that up the other day and I thought, wait a minute. They put, if my people will pray and humble themselves. And I thought, there's more to that. I'm glad God answered that prayer after 50 plus years, 51 years. I'm glad God answered that prayer, but there's much more to do if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And then we've got to get this down. Seek His face. Not just come to church. Seek His face. Not just fulfill my responsibilities. Seek His face. Not just go through my Bible reading list. Seek His face. Not just focus on me and my cell phone. Seek His face. It's not just about my kids and my homeschooling. Seek His face. It's not just about my spouse. Seek His face. To seek His face requires effort on our part. We can all come to church and sing a few songs and confess the name of Christ. To seek His face means that we have to make a diligent effort to block out all other distractions. Our life is so busy and so crowded by activities and people and projects and gadgets that Christ can become lost in the crowd. I'll never understand why some people come to church and either look mad, backslidden, or dead. And I could see you at your job and you look like you're on cloud nine. Something's wrong, Brother Trent. Something's wrong. We're not seeking His face. The Lord's way back here and we're making everything else more important, because if your relationship to Christ is correct, your other relationships, they're going to fall in line. If you just put Christ, what we do is we put us on the pedestal and we say, when everybody gets right with us and when everybody makes this right with us and when we're happy and when we're this and when we're that, and God says, no, you seek My face. Let me give you a couple more here. We'll be done. Turn to John chapter number 6, if you would. John chapter number 6. Many of us, of course, have done it where you look up, it's 2 or 3 days after Sunday and you haven't been in your Bible or you haven't been praying like you committed to praying. I mean, it's easy to get distracted, but let's not stay distracted. Number 3 is this: to seek His face means we want to be near Him. You know what Sarah does to me when she sees Dad show up? And if we have the strength and if we have the time, we're going to go up in about a week and a half or a couple of days, maybe. Just hang out with the kids. But when Dad shows up, I remember a couple of years ago, we showed up at the office there at the camp and somebody called down. I don't know if they had a walkie-talkie or something. Somebody called down and said, Josh, Sarah, your parents are here. And I'm not kidding. They came running up the aisle. I ran the opposite direction, but they came running up the aisle. I'm not ashamed to have a good relationship with my children. Well, if I had two, I'd have a good relationship. You have what God gave you. Start getting a good relationship with your children. Get off the phone long enough to have a good relationship with your children. To seek His face means we want to be near Him. Those kids, you know what they wanted? By the way, do your kids run to you or from you? That'd tell you about your relationship with your children. To seek His face means we want to be near Him. Not that we just want something from Him, but that we just want to be close to Him. John 6:26 tells us this. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." That's sad. He says, so you're not walking with Me because I'm a miracle-working God who supplied for you, because I blessed your life. He said, you're just coming back to Me because it's where you get the groceries. You're just coming back to Me because all of a sudden now your marriage is falling apart. You're just coming back to Me now because your child is sick. You're just coming back to Me now because your nation is sick. He said, I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to pray, and I want you to quit seeking My handout, and I want you to seek My face. I had someone call here this week and said, he said, I want my child to go to Vacation Bible School, and that's wonderful. And it was on the answer machine, and I didn't have time to return it at the moment. I didn't return the message. And then he called again, and Miss Ogdy answered the phone. She was here, and he said, I'd like for my child to go to Vacation Bible School. It's a pastor there. And she said, he's not here at the moment, but I can take a message. And he just hung up. And then later on, also the same thing happened to Miss Orm. She tried to talk. The same guy called back, and his pastor there just hung up and wanted to talk about our bus ministry. Or that was a different person. That was somebody who wanted to borrow our bus. And but anyhow, so I finally, a couple days later, I called the guy and I said, "Man, we'd be privileged to have your child come to our vacation Bible school." He said, "That's great, Pastor Wall. I got you, man. I need some groceries." You see what he was wanting. He said, do you help people? Absolutely. We try to help people the best we can. I believe that a man ought to work, and I believe we ought to work the best we can. But I understand sometimes there's health situations. We certainly want to take care of older widows. We certainly want to take care of a mother who's trying to raise kids, and maybe her dad, her husband is a bum or whatever. We certainly want to help people. But you see, he wasn't coming to say, "I need to get in church. I want to talk to the pastor. I want to see the pastor's face. What can I do? What does the Bible say?" It was like, "Pastor, I hung up on your wife. Will you give me something now?" I didn't mention that it was my wife he hung up on. "But can I get something?" And God says, "I'll supply all your need. I want to bless your life. But would you quit living your own kind of life and then just coming and seeking my face because you want something else?" Wouldn't that be better if they were just right there, if you're just right there beside him anytime you have a need? He wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to be close with him. To seek his face requires effort on our part. To seek his face means we have to make a diligent effort to block out all other distractions. And I love what Brother Randy Dignan said last week. He said, "Quit acting like you don't have time to pray and you don't have time for your Bible. We're on the phone all the time. We're on the TV all the time. We're on the video games all the time. We do all kinds of everything. If we want to be close to the Lord, we could be." To seek his face means we want to be near to him. Not that we just want something from him, but that we just want to be close to him. My wife is she's one of those just good at that. She would rather be around me than around anyone else in the world. She loves to take a trip with me or just to be home. We're enjoying the weeks are flying by and they've been jam-packed. We haven't been at home that much this summer, but I'm glad I have a wife that wants to be near to me. To seek his face means, lastly, that we desire to live clean and we desire to be led by his word. Let me say it again. To seek his face means that we desire to live clean and we desire to be led by his word. And here's the thing. That's the deal breaker for so many. Oh, we can confess his name. We can share a meme. But obey God? Now you're getting into my life. Yeah, because God's a 911 operator to you. I mean, I need God. I need you to fix my health. Is bad. God, I need you to fix it. And God says, I need you to be obedient to my word. Amen. Give up the sin business? I don't know about that, Lord. Psalm 37 says this, verse 8, when thou sayest, "Seek ye my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies," the Bible says. In Psalm 24 and verse number 3, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I don't know about you, but I want to stand close to the Lord. I want to be exactly where God wants me to be in my time of need. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And Solomon said, God, here's what we're going to do when times get tough. We're going to confess your name. We're going to put 2 Chronicles 7:14 on a sign in our front yard. We're going to make sure people know I'm unashamed to be a Christian. By the way, I was amazed how many born-again Christians said nothing online about the victory with abortion. Who are you worried about offending? We'll share everything else. Here's my job. Here's my new earring. Here's my toenail. Here's my this. Here's my that. Where was the victory in Jesus online? When was the last time you said share something spiritual online? That was a great victory. It was a great time to take a stand. But it's not time to give up. It's not about what the White House does. It's about what God's people do. If my people which call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, are we walking humbly as God's dear children? Are we spending any more time praying than we used to? And are we truly seeking His face? Maybe you've never truly been saved. Maybe that's an issue this morning. Maybe you'd like to begin to seek God's face today. Let me tell you how it starts. It says, my people seek my face. Let me tell you how that starts. The way to seek God's face, the first step is you have to have peace with God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have Sirius XM radio, so I have Enlighten, which is the Southern Gospel. Supposed to be the Southern Gospel, 90% of it's trash. Southern Gospel station. I love Sunday morning because Sarah will call me or my brother Sean will call me. He said, man, you got to listen because they'll actually play good church hymns and some of those old time quartets like the Cathedrals or the Spears or the Happy Goodmans or whatever. And the songs they're singing is like, man, that's refreshing. I had it on for a little while yesterday and I would tell myself, I'd just say, you know, this song's growing on me. It's got a good message. And then I'd listen. I'd say, listen to this one. Do you get anything that song just said? Because they're in it for the dollar. Where's the doctrine? So young people, yes, there are places to go where you don't get yelled at. There are places to go to church where there are no rules. Go to the swim park, do whatever. Nobody takes a stand for anything. It's what's in your heart. They're not preaching half of the Word of God to you. But I would challenge all the adults in here, listen to your music or so-called Christian music. And I'm not saying there's not a good new song every once in a while, but listen to it and say, what did that just say? Is it humanistic? We need me. Hey, God, hey, because God's given us the answer. Lose the pride. Lose the pride. Start praying. Confess His name, yes. Unashamed to be a Christian, absolutely. Matthew 10, let's confess His name. But then let's make sure every day of our life we're seeking Him. Lord, we have come to seek Your face. God, I want to be as close to You. Where is the Lord? That's where I want to be. Because guess what the world's going to do? Lure you away with everything else. Here's the sports. Here's the cell phone. Here's the tablet. Here's the video game. Here's the kids. And guess what? We have a lot of responsibility in life. I was telling, I'll end with this. This just came to mind, so I'm going to share it. I was telling my wife and I when we were headed down to Louisiana and we were talking about loss and people passing away and going to heaven. And I said, I remember when my grandfather died back in 1984, my dad's dad. And I said, I was, I think, 9 years old. And I think I was sitting in the back of a station wagon at that funeral. And I said, I'll never forget that my dad had preached the message. And he was, and I said, I'll never forget. I was outside there and I was right by my mother. And I said, I plainly remember her saying this, where's my dad? Where's my dad? Where's my dad? I want to hug my dad's neck. Where she was looking for her dad. He just buried his dad, and all she wanted was, you know, there's people probably everywhere. Miss Liz, we're sorry. Miss Liz, Miss Liz, Miss Liz. And I remember that as a 9-year-old boy hearing my mom say, where's my dad? Has anybody seen my dad? Where's my dad? And she just wanted to hug her own dad's neck. Aren't you glad what a day that's going to be when we get to go to heaven? Do that again. Folks, you don't know sometimes how tiring it gets to preach and pastor and try to help. And as soon as somebody's up here, somebody's back down there. And as soon as somebody wants to move forward, somebody wants to backslide. Would to God, in the heat of a Texas summer, we'd all just get our heart right, totally right with God. Quit getting offended by every little thing. Some of you are talking to your kids during church. While we're having prayer, you're talking to your kids. You're teaching your kids to disrespect the man of God. You're teaching your kid to disrespect the house of God. You're talking to your kid. Why don't we just all get our heart right and say, where is God? Where is God? No, no, I want my cell phone. Where is God? My job? Where is God? All my friends? Where is God? Man, I've got to get close to God again. You think if he'll heal a land, you think he wouldn't heal a home?